Welcome to the UDIA Queensland's Development DROM podcast, where we speak to members and ask them to share some property industry insights and at the same time get to know our industry colleagues a little better. My guest today is Tess Pickering, Deputy Director General of Planning. Tess is an experienced and energetic planner, passionate about delivering place-based planning outcomes that make a real impact, shaping Queenslanders' lives now and for the future. Tess embraces the big challenges with a focus on collaboration, taking inspiration from working alongside people with the confidence to push boundaries, contribute ideas, and come up with solutions together. Particular focus has been on greener and cooler streets, enabling people to live more locally, more affordable homes, and engaging with our First Nations peoples better in the planning framework. Returning home to Queensland after 5 years in Melbourne working for the Victorian Planning Authority, Tess is committed to plans that promote inclusivity while accommodating growth and embodying our distinctly Queensland lifestyle. Since being back in Queensland, Tess has overseen the delivery of Shaping SEQ 2023. Her attention now turns to leading the delivery of the government's ambitious planning agenda with key partners and stakeholders, one that includes a statewide regional planning program and responsibilities under the newly released Homes for Queenslanders to build more homes faster. Thanks for joining us on the Development DROM, Tess. So Tess, I know that this is an impossible question because I'm guessing there is no typical day in the life of Tess Pickering, but do your best to walk us through what a typical day looks like for you.
I did ask my team.
Breakfast first.
No. Breakfast. No. I asked my team and they said chaotic, right. Late, and a few words like that. So that kind of summarizes it up.
Yeah.
But essentially, wake up in the morning.
Great. Good
two,
start.
Two children.
Yes.
To get organized. Yeah. My partner is on parental leave at the moment, which helps.
Fantastic.
Helped, but I try to take the older one, Freddie, to daycare on the way to work.
Gorgeous.
Get to work around 9.
Yep.
And then have meetings majority of the day.
Yeah, wow.
And then try to leave at a reasonable hour, which often doesn't happen.
Yes.
Go home, spend some quality time again. Yeah. With the kids and Tristan, my partner, and then do some more work that I didn't get to, briefs and Sarah.
Yes.
The sort of decisions that need to happen that I don't, at the moment, tend to get too much time for in the day.
Yeah. And does that time of day when you get to that help in terms of just having some clear headspace?
Yeah.
Less interruptions?
Yeah, that's right.
Less people from industry bodies calling you.
Yes.
What time, just out of interest, should I call? Like 8 o'clock?
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't know. 9 p.m. I am a night owl, so definitely do my best, I think, thinking.
Yes.
You know, at the quiet 9 p.m., 10 p.m. for that period.
For that sort of stuff, yeah. Mm. And obviously post boys going to bed.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right. But I try to, when I'm there, I try to be there.
Yeah.
Because that's really important to me because I'm trading off.
Yes.
Quite a bit.
Yes.
So I try to not waste the time that I am with them.
Yeah. Is it difficult to turn off? Any tips for anyone, including me?
I can turn off.
Can you?
Yes, I can. I'm either, 100%
yes
in, or I can just put my phones away and
yeah,
and not worry, not think about that for a while.
Mm. I love that you said phones.
I know. Just the two phones.
Just the two.
Just the two.
One for each hand.
Yeah.
Now, you're a planner by trade, sometimes a maligned profession, maybe not on the same rung as property developers, but particularly in a political context of presenting problems rather than solutions and positive opportunities.
Mm.
How does planning demonstrate the value of being a facilitator rather than a problem maker?
Yeah. I think I've become acutely aware of that perception.
Yeah.
Particularly in Queensland, I think, maybe. I think it's just more visible up here than maybe it was a little bit more niche down in Victoria. But regardless, I think that people do firmly believe that planners start with no.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to convince them around that.
Okay.
I don't think that's true.
No.
I think we should and do try to start with yes and.
Yes.
To work through. But I think as a regulator,
yep,
in some circumstances, we are a regulator in some circumstances, that overshadows all the other strategic yes and things that we're doing.
Yeah.
So it's a balance. But I hope that the recent housing challenge has shown that planning has come full force to that solution. Mm. We didn't say no and bury our head in the sand. In fact, we were and often are blamed for things. And I think what we've done is said, yep, we understand there's things we could do better. We've actively stepped into that. And now people are realizing, okay, there's actually other things outside planning that need to change here too.
Yeah.
So I think we just have to keep showing people that we are yes and not no but.
Yeah. The other view of planning is that planning can be slow to respond. Mm. And that's not necessarily a reflection of making a decision or making a policy change, but often people only judge the value of that decision or announcement when they see it happening on the ground.
Mm.
How do you grapple with that in terms of almost selling a dream?
Yeah, it is a bit. It is policy, really. And but it's policy that has a direct impact on the ground.
Yes.
And so it's tricky. People ask, you know, the temptation, and rightfully so, is how many lots, how many homes, how many building approvals? And I hate not being able to give a very, very clear answer on that. And we are going to invest in our monitoring and getting better information.
Yes.
Because I think we unlock opportunity.
Yes.
And then we've never proclaimed to build the 95% of the housing market. Mm. We know that the private market does that.
Yeah.
How can we better articulate our part in the step before that?
Yes.
And put some numbers around it? Because otherwise people just, it's not clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are investing in that. Better monitoring.
Which is exciting. Mm. Now, you spent time in both the public service and also private industry. In your mind, how has that experience differed? Pace, decision-making, responsibility, are there similarities or does it feel like a wildly different experience?
Mm. Yes, majority in the public sector and in the private. I think that in any job, having exposure to different lenses is good, right? It just rounds you out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just helps round you out. So I think that that was the benefit. I also think that in any job, it's the same as delivery, right? And project managers, they say, you know, have you been on the tools? And that'll be the best, most effective sort of way to know exactly what has to happen to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same in our profession too.
Yes.
And so I have had the benefit of learning from public and private what it takes to get decisions made.
Yeah.
And certainly I've had exposure to the highest levels of government where you have proximity to decision makers. So you see how, what has to happen to get something through.
Yeah.
And then I was able to take that back into the department as a director, back to my planning roots.
Yes.
And it helps me now navigate.
Yeah.
Because I know how to get to the end point, hopefully. It's not up to me, but I can hope I can have the best sort of view of trying to get there.
You can plan for the questions that are going to be asked. Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say benefits of both. The private, I think just learning how client-driven, not being the policy sort of advisor was very different. You're sort of doing what someone wants you to do, and I probably that was a learning for me.
Yes.
And I probably am more naturally, I think I feel more naturally fit in the public policy side.
Space, He said getting on the tools, given the skills and construction crisis, any chance of getting you further onto the tools? Tool. We're sort of interviewing for all roles at this point.
We'll
I've
give
said
it a go.
That I'd be particularly useless, but I'm happy to give it a go.
I'll give it a crack.
I haven't decided what my strength might be, but
I'm doing a lot of Lego at the moment.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bricklaying?
Something, yeah.
Yeah. I've got dodgy knees and ankles. So it's not a good start. Now, you spent 5 years working in Victoria. Mm. We can talk about the weather later.
Mm.
under Stuart Mosley. What did that time at the VPA deliver for you in your career?
Mm. Before the VPA, I had only ever stayed at a job 1 year and 9 months max.
Is that right?
Much. Yeah. It was kind of like this weird point in my resume, I realized, where I obviously tapped out of wanting to go into the next thing.
Yes.
And so in Vic, I guess 5 years, that was because it was incredible. You know, so much to learn, a different city.
Yes.
You know, personally, it was different. I was living in a different city. I'm a Brisbane girl, born and raised. Was doing long distance with my partner, all those things. I didn't really know that many people.
Yeah.
So that was personal growth, but then also professionally just learned so much. And Stuart had been my boss and I was just so excited to work for him again because he is an incredible planner.
Yes.
And he's also pragmatic.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yeah.
He's not stuck in any certain view. So you continue to learn from him.
Yes.
Because he adapts.
Yeah.
And he's an incredible communicator as well.
Yeah.
So I guess down there what I learned was I was strategy role, corporate strategy role, and then I went over to ultimately Metro Melbourne.
Yes, okay.
And they're about 10 years further on the growth journey.
I was
going to
ask you, yes.
There's a lot that I saw that I think is a part of why I got the job really in Queensland, to bring the learnings before we make similar mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do. And there's parts of their system that are fantastic.
Yeah.
But there's part overall, I do think that Queensland has a superior planning, straight planning system.
Yeah.
But there's things I've learned that they do well down there as well. So I try to bring both to my day to day.
And then what brought you back to Queensland? A bit of personal and a bit of professional opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was pregnant when I went for the job. But Tristan and I are both from Brisbane.
Okay. So north side or south side? Really important, Tess.
Really important. I'm north.
Oh, we can wrap this podcast up now then.
See ya. Yeah. Tristan was west, which,
Okay, that's even worse. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we had Freddie. Yeah. He was like 3 and we probably just needed some support and it was time to come back. My dad said to me, you know, maybe time to come back now. And we just thought, yeah, it's hard. You don't want to miss stuff.
Yes.
But you also... We loved Melbourne, like adored it, time of our lives. So we miss a lot of our friends and things, but we try to get back down there as much as we can.
Yeah. What about the coffee? Which coffee is better? Age old debate.
Melbourne,
yeah. Ugh. Like I expected that answer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Brisbane's good though.
It's not bad.
It's really marginal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is good because I think 10 years ago we probably wouldn't have said that.
No, I think we're good. There's great places in the city you can find, like, and it's just the same.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's good to know. You've been very impartial in that, so that's excellent. What's the most important piece of professional advice you've been given, other than be nice to the UDIA?
Yes.
Stuart would have said that, surely.
Yeah. No, Stuart is, I did learn, to be honest, partnering with industry from Stuart. He was very –
He's very strong on it.
He's very strong. You know, he – rightfully so, would never turn off the tap of hearing directly from industry about the reality of how the policies are playing out. And so I saw that, I've learned that, and I will always do that as well.
Yeah.
I think the other, probably 2 things, maybe professionally, personally, I did have a recent boss call me out when I was emailing late at night.
Yeah.
Basically for being an insecure sort of overachiever, he called it. And then I read an article and I was like, oh my God.
So lovely.
Yeah, I know, but he was bang on.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for calling that out.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need to watch that because or you'll sink.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I just had never had someone just call. It was the best thing.
Yes.
They did for me. And then,
so what, Tess, just to have more confidence in letting things go or more confidence in being able to just shut the laptop? And
Like you don't have to prove yourself. Yep. You know, you wouldn't have this job if you hadn't already proven something.
Yeah.
So don't feel like you've got to keep doing that every single day and in every single item.
Yes.
You know, you're there for a reason and just back it. So that was amazing because it made me feel very supported. And often the temptation would be, and the article outlines that people who are dedicated like that can often be a great resource for a company because you don't stop working.
Yes.
So to have that acknowledges, that's fine. But that wasn't the priority. Like the priority was stamina.
Yes.
And doing it in a way that was real for a long time. And I think that I just needed to be called on that, and that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then professionally, I guess in a work sense, I think probably and in a planning, very important for planning is not letting perfect be the enemy of the good.
Yeah. Yep.
And just keep things moving and don't gold plate and just keep progress, demonstrate progress. So I'd bring that every day.
Which is a really, as you were saying before, it's a really tricky balance between that, and quite often it comes with the dual role of a regulator as well. But I think sometimes those 2 things can be easily conflated. But it is a challenge.
It is.
It's a balancing act.
But I mean, planning is about, I think, the public interest, net community benefit in our decisions. So we are the only one in there. We should and always should be the only one in there with an impartial sort of role in balancing social, economic and environmental matters in a decision about place. I think that has pushes and pulls, and we'll have to choose winners in some cases, but that's our role. So I think we just push ahead with that, and sometimes it'll be 80%.
Yeah.
And it won't, may not be the what it could have been in an ultimate state, but hey, at least they've got homes on the ground or whatever.
Is an important part of planners' role, do you think, getting out there on the ground? I call it scratching and sniffing product. I probably need to work on that, to be honest.
So, yeah.
but just really resonates with me. Actually seeing what, obviously you see the plan on paper and the proposal, but actually seeing it and feeling it on the ground, is that an important part? So industry thinks it is.
Yeah. Oh,
both the good and bad, good, bad and ugly of, of some of those decisions that were made along the way.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. And the VPA, we used to do that a lot.
You Did you call it scratch and sniff?
No.
No, okay.
I won't be.
Okay, good. That, yeah. I'll work on you. You know this.
But we used to take, you know, our board would, the whole board would come.
Fantastic.
And we would all go good and bad.
Yep.
Small lot, bad, over to the next small lot, fantastic.
Good,
you know,
yep.
And what did we
makes
just see?
It, yep. Yep.
And then tinker the code just constantly. I couldn't agree more. It's very important. We try to get out on site. I think the state government, it's hard, probably harder for us in the state planning function, but we'd need to do more. We do have 10 regional offices.
Yes.
And they are very much live to their local context, as they should be.
Yeah.
But probably some of the internal Brisbane, you know, 1 William Street, we can get very stuck in 1 William Street, and we have to remind ourselves to get back out.
Great way to see that community and public benefit, or at least just that.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, like many of us, you juggle a challenging role, a family and a life, but no Groodles, I don't think. No Groodles? Okay, I've got Groodles to add to that mix, and that's a whole nother story. You spoke before about the importance of tuning out, turning off. What are your other tips for finding that balance?
Yeah, I'd say that I'm open to any tips that anyone has, because it's not my strength.
No. And I think it evolves too as family evolves.
Mm. Yeah, I think I need to balance better. I'll acknowledge that. But I guess...
You're not alone, Tess.
No. But I can switch off, which I guess is
it's
good.
Great.
And I would say put the phone away in the other room.
Yeah.
Put the laptop... Like I often just let the laptop run dead and don't have a charger. Or
just
find yourselves in situations where you can't work. Go to the park without your phone. Take the kids to the...
Yeah.
No, town planning emergencies are very rare.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, half an hour for the call back
is okay
in 99 points of the equation. So I have learned that. And also I need to find more time for balance with my loved ones, broader than just my immediate family.
Yes.
I probably, my friends would say, have not seen them enough. Moved back to Brisbane. Haven't seen them nearly enough. Like I may as well be in Melbourne. So that's something I really want to focus on. And family, of course, I see them a lot, which is lovely. But yeah, the friends thing is important.
Brings a different aspect, doesn't it?
Yeah, and just reality check, like no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
You know, like let's talk about something else.
No one cares.
Talk about.
That's right. No one cares about the planning emergency of last week. No.
Mm.
Yeah, sad as that is, I believe.
Exactly.
What's your focus for 2024? Now, I know that's an incredibly broad question, but when you wake up in the morning or perhaps when you started the year, where was Tess's brain at? Not much happening in 2024 either, just really smooth sailing year, I hear.
Delivery.
Yeah, okay.
Last year, we had a year of pushing policy shifts. I feel like government has backed that in with some really significant commitments, you know, and statutory policy pieces like shaping SEQ. Like they've said what we need to do now, so now I need to do it. So it's just delivery.
Yeah.
It's that picture of what does planning unlock and how are we tracking what we're actually unlocking.
Yeah.
And genuine hoarding on supply, running the flags up when there is a real issue, run the flag up. And that's going to be a challenge for everyone. It's different.
Yeah.
But we have to do it because look where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And more time at parks and more time with friends.
Yes, and more time with friends, yes. And family. Yeah. Yes.
And maybe purchasing a couple of Groodles.
Yeah, maybe. No,
no,
I can't add that to the mix.
No, no. You say that. It does. It's not much. It's a marginal impact.
Oh, yeah.
You're already deep, Tess.
Yeah.
Time to double down.
Yeah.
Well, Tess, it's been fantastic to speak to you. We've really appreciated you taking the time out from what has been a very busy week/year. So much more to look forward to, but thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the UDIA Queensland's Development Drum podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Remember to rate and review this show on your favourite podcast app.
While you're there, please make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode.